I'm sure you wondered if we were ever going to get through Matthew chapter 5, but we did. And today we're going to start looking at Matthew chapter 6. I don't think we'll be in Matthew 6 as long as we were in chapter 5, but we're just going to continue on in our series of life in the kingdom of God. We want to be people who live in the kingdom of God, who act like we are in the kingdom of God at all times, with everyone. So we're going to start today in Matthew chapter 6, start with verse 1. And Jesus says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So in other words, there in heaven, there is going to be rewards for what we've done. But that's not the reason we do things. And our first thought might be, when we listen to this verse, is it a contradiction to what we heard in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I mean, both of them are talking about good deeds. But what is Jesus actually saying here? I mean, one verse declares that we should let our good deeds be seen by others. And our text for today in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says that we're not to let others see our righteous acts, our good deeds. I mean, is there a contradiction? Possibly. Possibly. I don't even know if possibly would be right, because, sorry, Mel, not to try, but I don't believe there is any contradictions in the Bible. And yeah, you knew that's where I was going. And if we take a closer look at this verse, this chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men, but that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The reason for them to see our good deeds, the reason for them to know that we've done something that is right, is not so we get praised, but so the Father gets praised, that He gets the glory. See, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus is instructing us not to show our righteous acts or our good deeds to others so they can acknowledge us and praise us. It's not like, "Well, I'm going to do this so everybody goes, oh man, Scott, you are so great. You're so super spiritual." That's not the idea. On the surface, this seems like a contradiction. But as we know, there's no contradictions in the Bible. The praise should always be given to our Heavenly Father. He is the one. Jesus is declaring it's all about where our heart and motives are when we are doing our righteous acts, our good deeds. Who's receiving the praise for our good deeds? Matthew 6:1 is an introduction to the next 17 verses in the chapter, which are three illustrations about righteous acts, about good deeds. And these illustrations are about giving, praying, and fasting, which are things we should do. Yet we don't do them for others, so we get the praise. It's not like I pray that you go, "Oh, that's great. We just praise you, Scott, for praying." Or I give so I get praise, or I fast so I get praise. But today we're just going to look at giving. And that first illustration in the first four verses there. And so verse 2, we read these words, Jesus saying, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. Two Greek words in this verse, which are translated alms in the King James Version, or you give to the needy in the NIV, have the meaning of giving money and goods to the poor from a heart of kindness and compassion. Jesus is talking here about a lot more than just handing somebody some money and saying, here's 20 bucks. He's talking about a lot more than that. He's talking about giving our love to those who need it. And we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I think Pat shared a little bit last Sunday too. Love is an action. And so giving is an action of love. It's not giving with a reluctant heart. It's not like, well, here, you know, here, oh, do you have change for my 20? It's not giving with a reluctant heart or heart that does not even desire it. It is giving as the Father has given so generously and freely to us. I mean, hasn't He given freely and generously? I mean, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. But that is the most and the ultimate, that He would give of His life for us, that we might have a life with Him and be called His children, be adopted in His family. But I mean, He gives continually to us. He provides all that we need according to His riches and glory. And if He gives so freely to us, freely we have received, freely we need to give. We need to give with compassion, knowing that what we have to give only comes from the Father anyhow, and it's His and we're giving it, whether it's our money, our possessions, our time. The truth is, every good gift comes from our Heavenly Father. It's interesting to note that the starting words of this verse, it states, when you give. When you give. Jesus doesn't say, if you happen to give, if you think about giving, if, you know, if it just crosses your mind. It says, when you give. Barnes, who's a commentator, writes, our Savior here doesn't positively command His disciples to aid the poor, but supposes that they would just do it. Like, He doesn't command us. He just expects as His children that we would just do it. And isn't that what James states in James chapter 1, verse 27? Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted in the world. The orphans and the widows, the needy, those who need help. That's pure and faultless religion. That's what the Father looks for. That's what kingdom living is like. Jesus knows that those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, those who want to follow Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, will not only give, but will desire to find opportunities to give. As followers of Jesus, it is clear that we are called to give. The question becomes not how much we give or what we're even giving, but what our heart is thinking while we are giving. And we could line up in three camps. You know, when we're giving, we could be looking for praise from others. We could just think that's what we need. Or when we're giving, we could be just thinking about what a great person we are. Look at that. I was able to give. Or we could be looking when we're giving for the approval from the Heavenly Father. So let's look at these three camps. In Matthew 6:2, Jesus said, when we give, we are not to announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. That's what some of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees did. You know, the super spiritual. In a sense, they would go to the bank and come to the synagogue, and when the plate was passed around, like, they would go to the bank first of all, and they would take their $10 or $20 and say, you know what, can you just give me some coinage? I'm going to give to the needy this week. They want the bank teller to know what they're doing as well, you know. I'm going to give to the needy. We're having a benevolence offering at the church this Sunday and at the synagogue, and I'm going to give. So can you just give me some coins? And so they get the coins, and when the plate's passed around, the plate comes by them, and it's... as they're looking around. And then the usher takes the plate away, and they, hold it. I've got some more here. Oh, I think there might be some more in here. Oh yeah. And why do they do that? Because they want the recognition of others. They want others to see that I'm giving to the poor. And if they're really spiritual, they won't even do it in the synagogue. They'll go to the town square and they'll have a trumpeter or somebody say, hey, everybody, I'm going to give all this money I have right here. Look, I even got copper coins. They're worth lots now. I'm giving it to the needy. And there's a big fanfare. Just so they can be noticed by others. So they can be so spiritual. It's sort of like this cartoon that I found on the internet. That's more today's. Well, let me just get a selfie here as I'm giving my offering to the poor. And then we can post it on Instagram and Facebook. Maybe the pastor will let me post it on the church website. Not. But, you know, Jesus said to these folks, they have received the reward in full. I mean, you saw all this money I put in here, and you can say, wow, Scott, that's great. And that's my reward. And I won't get any more reward than that. Just the reward of others saying, well, that's great. Well done. Jesus is saying that it is wrong to give so we'll get noticed and receive praise from others. You know what I mean? A person does something for somebody else. I'm going to cut my neighbor's lawn, but you know, it'd be really great if Joe down the street would just come by while I'm cutting that lawn. And I know at 10 o'clock he drives by every morning. He'll see me cutting my neighbor's lawn. And he'll go, oh, Scott, oh, you cut Martha's lawn. What a good guy. And you know, if he doesn't drive by, I'll just have to find an opportunity to say, hey, you know, it was such a hot day yesterday. And I just happened to be at Martha's house and noticed her lawn was a little long, so I went and cut it. I just want to share that with you. By the way, I didn't cut Martha's lawn yesterday, just so you know. I think it would be fair to say, though, that most of us from time to time are guilty about letting our giving show before others. It is a natural thing of our flesh. We want to be recognized. We want to be applauded for doing good. I mean, we want people to know that we're good people. Maybe you guys are a little better off than me, but I know I have. Unfortunately, those times, like I said, we've received our reward in full already. We've got the praise from others. Our motive for giving should not be to be noticed or praised by others, but to bring glory to God. Yet, we also have to be wary that we're not just giving to pat ourselves on the back. You know, way to go. Way to go, Scott. You gave. Listen to what Matthew says, Jesus says in verses 3 and the first part of verse 4. He says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving is in secret." So is Jesus saying that, you know, when I'm putting my offering in, that I should put my left hand behind my back and use my right hand, or my right hand behind my back when I'm doing? Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. I mean, I really think what Jesus is saying here is what we need to do is shut our eyes when the offering plate comes around and put our hand, pull out our wallet, and then with our eyes shut, put our hand in our wallet and take our money out and put it in the offering bag, let it go, and then open our eyes after the offering bag's gone. Better yet, maybe we should use somebody else's wallet, and then we really wouldn't know how much anybody's given, right? No, that's ridiculous. That's as stupid as putting your left hand behind your back or your right hand behind your back. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. What Jesus is saying is that we are not to be making a running total in our mind about what we are giving. We are not to be keeping track of our giving. Well, you know, I helped Mrs. Needy three times this past month. She was financially having a struggle. And, you know, I think I gave $105. No, maybe it was $110. And then there was the time I spent helping her paint. That was an hour and a half, and I probably worth $20 an hour. So that's another $30. You know, that's what Jesus is saying here. We're not to be keeping a running total. As we are self-conscious of our giving, it can eventually have us being self-righteous about our giving. We need, or we will start to think we are doing pretty good in our giving. Wow, you know, like I gave to Mrs. Needy. That's pretty sacrificial on my part. You know, like I'm $105 or $110 short that I could have used for a computer game or something, or whatever. The truth is, when we have given something, we need to just forget about it. We have given it to the Lord. We might have given it to Mrs. Needy, but the truth is, we've given it to Jesus. And so, when we forget about it, then it puts out of our mind and we're not patting ourselves on the back for what we've done. Let me address something here which you might be thinking or wondering about. Does that mean when we have an offering that we shouldn't use offering envelopes? Because, I mean, if you put your name on the offering envelope, the count team will know exactly who's giving what. And by the way, the count team is very confidential and nobody knows. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that, you know, don't fill out an offering envelope. What he's saying is, if you're filling out an offering envelope, and then when you get your taxable receipt at the end of the year, and you're taking it to Mr. Tax Return, and say, hoping that they'll go, "Wow, did you ever give a lot to the charity this year?" That's what Jesus is saying we shouldn't be doing. If that's the reason we're getting a tax receipt, so somebody can say, "Wow, you know, you're really doing good," or pat yourself on the back, then I'd suggest that maybe we need to do your taxes yourself, so others don't even see what you're giving. On the other hand, if your whole motive for just giving is to give, because you give to the Father and give to the Lord, and the whole reason you get a tax receipt is so you will get more return on your taxes, so you can give more, then your heart's right. Our hearts are right. So please, don't stop filling out envelopes. I want you to be able to get as much back for your money as you can from the government. It's something the government has made available, and I believe it won't be available for ever. There will come an end when we will not be able to get charitable tax receipts. Jesus shares the heart issue and the real reason for giving secretly in the last half of verse 4. He says, "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." See, there's no we give and the Father sees. No matter how secretly you give, the Father sees. And he's the one who rewards us. We realize that our giving has nothing to do with others recognizing how much or what we've given and praise us. It's not about so we can have a swelled head and think that we are doing so great, being so generous. It's all about our Father. I mean, why are we giving? We're giving because of the kingdom of God. Because we're living life in the kingdom of God. We give so we receive the approval of our Heavenly Father. That's the only one who really matters. That's the only one that we want to really give to. And he will reward us as he sees fit. It's the Lord who should receive the glory and praise. Whatever we do, we need to do it as we're doing it for the Lord. So if we are willing to do, to give when nobody claps, when nobody cheers us on, when nobody says, "Great job," then we're doing what is right. That's the true litmus test. If we are willing to do it without applause, do it without any praise, then we're doing it for the right reason. Sometimes we might be recognized. There are times when we do something and we try to do it in as secret as possible, but others might notice. And that's okay. Because the heart attitude is what matters. And if somebody praises us for giving, then we just turn the praise back to God. Because when that recognition comes, it won't matter. It's not the end goal. The end goal is to see the Father glorified and to see people come to the kingdom of God. We are called to give So let us give with a right heart, that our Father will be glorified. May we leave any approval and recognition in His hands.